Well, on Wednesday evenings, we're taking a look here at the enemies of Israel, and we've got this list that we have been pursuing over here in Psalm 83. It tells about several there that are against the Lord's nation, and it tells about their threat and their desire there. We've taken a look at several of these, and we're coming to the end of the list. It says here in verse number 6 of Psalm 83 that Edom, the tabernacles of Edom, are here at hand against Israel. The Ishmaelites, those of Moab and the Hagarenes, Gebal, Ammon, Amalek, and the Philistines, the inhabitants of Tyre. Asher also is joined with them. They have Holpen, the children of Lot, which we understand and know to be Ammon and Moab. And so we've been taking a look about Tyre. And the inhabitants of Tyre, as it says, interesting that it says it that way. Tyre is a city on the Mediterranean of the real estate that the Lord gave into his nation and to the different tribes of his nation. Asher is the tribe that was to occupy that region. And as we understand it correctly, she just had trouble. Asher just had trouble. He had trouble. Gaining that ground. And so we've taken a look at this city of Tyre, and it's the references to it in the scripture, quite extensive, from the Old Testament to the New, quite extensive. And it's very interesting. Why is that? Why is it that Tyre is mentioned so many times, even by our Lord Jesus Christ? What's the reason there? What's the reason? Why is that the case? So much mention of Tyre. We've taken a look at Tyre, how it was used as a border and a reference in the days of Joshua when the land was being divvied out to the tribes. We saw about Tyre and King Hiram in David's day and Solomon's day. And that's where we left off last time. The city of Tyre being a gateway to both directions there, the middle of the world, if you will, at that time. Very wealthy, very powerful, able to hire a mercenary, we understand historically, for her defense, and had a great navy that even Hiram helped Solomon, Brother Solomon, in the building of the navy that Israel had in that day. If you're interested in dates, Hiram is a man that reigned, we understand historically, from 980 BC to 947 BC. And his reign spanned over the time of Brother David's reign and Brother Solomon's reign. Solomon's reign, about 13 years or 20 years or so, I think it is. And then Brother David's about 10. I think that would make it right. So Brother David's, Hiram's reign spanned over David's reign by about 10 years, which is interesting because David reigned for 40 years. And then Solomon's reign, he spanned over that reign of Solomon about 23 years, his reign being 33 years or so, right there near the 1,000 before Christ or BC, 1000 BC, in that time period. So that's a good marker too in our minds as we study the scripture and we try to get our brethren placed in time. Just remember that Brother David was right there around 1000 BC. And it gives you a good anchor point to pin down other stuff that happens. And then we know about that 400 years of silence from the Lord, from the last prophet that the Lord spoke through unto his nation, and then the coming of John the Baptist and the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so good things to put together in our minds in that map of the Bible, that layout, that interconnection of the Bible in our minds. Tonight we want to take a look first about the minor prophets and their comments concerning Tyre. They say quite a bit as far as the prophets overall say quite a bit about Tyre. There's much mention about Tyre. We refer to the minor prophets that way because not that they're less prophets, you know, they're not less prophets, but their books are small. Okay. And have you ever undertaken in your study to make an attempt to put the Bible in order. Have you ever done that yourself? It's an interesting thing. Tonight, let's take a look first at Brother Joel. Brother Joel, he was in the time, we understand historically, or as best as scholars and investigators of that time period, searching out the time period of these men. It's said that Brother Joel's time as ministry and the time of his being on the scene was 825 to 805 B.C. 825 to 805 B.C. Would you have thought that Joel would have been the first in chronological order from Solomon to mention about Tyre? Well, he is. He is indeed. So Joel chapter 3, we pick it up here in verse number 1. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. So that's what Joel's been talking about, is the Lord's chastisement of his own nation. I will also gather all nations and bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. Hey, this is talking about down there at the end of the age. Okay. And will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And they have cast lots for my people, and have given a boy for an harlot, and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. Yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon, and all the coasts of Palestine? Did you realize that there was a prophecy that touches down at the end of the age? Here in the book of Joel, indeed it is. And the Lord is telling so many things, all things the Lord, or so many things the Lord has told in advance, and he's brought to pass. And those things that haven't been brought to pass yet will be brought to pass, won't they? There's been enough fulfilled that we know of a surety that what God has said that hasn't been fulfilled will be fulfilled. Here he tells about all nations, and he brings out here about Tyre and Sidon. Do you see it here about the sins of the nations against the Lord's nation and the Lord's people? I tell you what, it's been a terrible thing that has been done to Israel. But you know what? It's been a terrible thing that Israel did against her God in sinning against him. You know, God has brought to pass on his child, on his nation, on his daughter, as he refers to her, on his love, he's brought to pass on her very grievous things. The Lord told her, if you don't obey me, if you don't follow after me, I'll do worse to you than I've sought to do to the inhabitants of the land. That may rankle our minds and cause us to wonder about the fairness or the love of our Lord, the approach and the way of our Lord. The thing is, we don't need to go there. We need to receive what our Lord has done. And as his children, you and I need to reverentially fear our Lord, because he loves his children, and he chastens his children when they get out of the way. Even a nation. A tough, grievous, terrible things have happened, but his nation has sinned against him. He tells to these, he said, to these, old Tyre and Zidon, verse 4, all the coast of Palestine, will you render me a recompense? Are you going to make this right? And if you recompense me, swiftly and speedily will I return your recompense upon your own head. Because you have taken my silver and my gold and have carried in to your temples my goodly pleasant things. The children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have you sold to the unto the Grecians, that you might remove them far from their border. Behold, I will raise them out of the place whither you have sold them, and will return your recompense upon your head, your own head. And I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Judah, and they shall sell them to the Sabaeans, to a people far off. And the Lord has spoken it. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, Make war, wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near, let them come up, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come up into the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. That's a reference that we see in the book of the Revelation. Come get you down, for the press is full, speaking of the wine press. The fats overflow. That's where the grapes are tromped and how they where they gather the juice that flows from the grapes. For their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. It's not talking about the Lord, what am I going to do with you? What am I going to do with you? What am I going to do with you? That's not the way the word decision is being used here. This is the threshing sledge of the Lord. He is going to tromp and press the wine press of the fierceness of the wrath of God Almighty. It's a one-sided decision, and you know what? The nations have lost, and judgment is being poured out upon this world. You know, we hear in the scripture about the battle of Armageddon. And it seems like this battle of Armageddon here is in this valley of Jehoshaphat. That's the way that I put it together myself to date. Up there in the valley of Megiddo, Megiddo being a city there overlooking from the west to the east, this great, great valley. Maybe you've seen pictures of that. Brother Horn had some pictures of the valley of Megiddo. And I believe that this is where this is talking about a great valley, a great battle of the Lord that he will fight. Multitudes, multitudes in this valley of decision. These words, valley of decisions, are speaking about a threshing sledge. It's decisive. It's direct what the Lord's going to do. There's not going to be, nobody gets away. Nobody escapes. And the Lord is total and complete in his judgment. A threshing sledge was something that would be used at the threshing floor when they would bring the wheat or the barley or the oats to the threshing floor, and they would take it and they would strike that dry wheat, that dry grain in the head to break open the husk, and then they would take it. And remember that reference that Brother John the Baptist mentioned, that the Lord would thoroughly purge his floor whose fan is in his hand? They would take a flat basket kind of thing and get underneath that grain that had been threshed and beaten. They would use, no doubt, threshing instruments of wood. But a threshing instrument of iron, of steel, or of iron in that day, it would be more intense and would have a greater weight, and it would do a better job. And that fellow that's working that in that threshing floor would take that fan and scoop up some of that grain that had been threshed and throw it up. And in the spring or in the fall, there's that breeze, and the husks go over here out of the threshing floor, and the grain falls down here. The earliest air classification, Brother Doug. And you know what happens with the wheat? It's going to be gathered in the garner. But John said all the chaff is going to be burned with fire unquenchable. And it's the Lord that's doing this. This is where he is doing this in regards to the nations that gather against his nation. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, verse 14. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall ye know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her any more. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, pardon me, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth out of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim. Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom shall be a desolate wilderness, for the violence against the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation, for I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion. I was only going to read to verse 14, but I can't help read with those other verses. Because, I mean, that's just rich. That means just wonderful what the Lord's going to do. A battle up in Megiddo, the deliverance of the Lord in Jerusalem, and I'll just throw this in for you. It's down there at Edom, where it's going to be a desolation. There's a reference of a scripture. Who is this that comes from Bozrah? It seems like there's going to be three areas that the Lord's going to fight. And you know what? It's not a problem for the Lord. He can fight in all three places just like that. He's that great and that powerful indeed. So here we see in this, of this judgment coming upon the nations, that Tyre and Sidon is mentioned first. Isn't that something? Isn't that something how they were mentioned first? The city of Tyre. We go over here to Hosea, back up a book, and Hosea chapter 9. Let's read here. There's a reference here. Brother Hosea living in a later time than Brother Joel, or the time of his ministry, 790 to 755 B.C. So a handful of years, as is estimated by men that study those things. And Hosea 9, verse number 1, we pick it up. As for chapter 9, verse 11 of Hosea. As for Ephraim, their glory shall fly away like a bird from the birth and from the womb and from the conception. That's speaking of one of the tribes. Though they bring up their children, yet will I bereave them, that there shall not be a man left. Yea, woe also to them when I depart from them. The Lord speaking about his judgment yet. Ephraim, as I saw Tyrus, is planted in a pleasant place. So that region that Ephraim had been given was just like it was with Tyrus. Ephraim, as I saw Tyrus, is planted in a pleasant place, but Ephraim shall bring forth his children to the murderer. Wow. Tell you what, that's heavy, 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 very serious. Give them, O Lord, what wilt thou give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breast. All their wickedness is in Gilgal. For there I hated them. For the wickedness of their doings, I will drive them out of mine house. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters. Ephraim is smitten. Their root is dried up. They shall bear no fruit. Yea, though they bring forth, they will. Yet will I slay even the beloved fruit of their womb. My God will cast them away because they did not hearken unto him, and they shall be wanderers among the nations. Brother Jim, the Lord's judgment comes upon the children of the fathers, of the men, of the women that were there and disobedient over the time and the generations. That judgment comes out on the children. I know it's a terrible thing, isn't it? It's a terrible thing. But remember, the Lord brings judgment upon a people. And as bitter and it is hard for us to consider about the death of children by the hand of invaders and those that the Lord would use to be a chastisement unto his nation, those children found in that place were delivered. It's not a decision for you and I to make. It's not an affair that you and I can even deal in, but God does. And even in that wrath and even in that judgment, the Lord is merciful. He puts it to an end. But you know what Ephraim had been doing already? Ephraim had already been sacrificing her children. She'd already been giving up her children to false gods. She'd already been doing that. And the Lord brought it to an end. Here, Ephraim is compared to Tyrus, planted in a pleasant place. It tells us about that situation of Tyrus and that land to the north, that land where Asher was to occupy and seemingly never did in regards to these cities. We come to Amos, and he's in the same time as brother Hosea, as is estimated. In chapter 1 of the book of Amos, thereafter the book of Joel, we see a reference here in verses 9 and 10 of chapter 1. Thus saith the Lord, Amos 1, 9, for three transgressions of Tyrus and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof. Three, and they kept on going, and for four. They've got to the end. They've got to the end of my long suffering. They've got to the end of the turning away of my judgment. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyrus and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof. Why? Because they delivered up the whole captivity to Edom. Edom's down there in the south. At a time that they had opportunity to occupy and to take the people, they took them all down and sold them down there, evidently to Edom at some point in time. And remembered not the brotherly covenant. They didn't remember the brotherly covenant. Wonder what that's about. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyrus and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, the punishment of Tyrus, because they delivered up the whole captivity to Edom and remembered not the brotherly covenant. Is that talking about between Jacob and Esau? That there was peace between the brothers. Jacob was very afraid of Esau, wasn't he? But Esau said, I've got enough. I don't even need your gift. And come on back home. And then it was that Esau went on to Seir, didn't he? And that's where he established, and that's where his people were. Maybe that's the reference that's there. Verse 10, but I will send fire on the wall of Tyrus, which shall devour the palaces thereof. This great city, this very wealthy city, a notable city, a city that many would be have fear to fight against, the Lord says, I'm going to burn it down. And you know what? He did. He did. He worked in kings to mete out his judgment upon them. We come on down the road to Isaiah, brother Isaiah and his writings. We'll come over here to chapter 23. Isaiah chapter 23. Isaiah chapter 23. And let me get there. Proverbs won't work, will it? Isaiah chapter 23. And brother Isaiah, the time of his life is now. We've moved on down the line, 735 to 710 B.C. So 100 years or so from that which Joel prophesied, and another 50 years or so, give or take, or 25 to 50 years from the time that brother Amos and Hosea prophesied. In chapter 23 of Isaiah, we read in verse number 1, the burden of Tyre. So see, as the Lord has called these brethren to prophesy in Israel, he's dealing with his nation and he's telling Israel what he is going to do to them. He's mentioning even different tribes and their error and their sin and such as that. But he doesn't forget about Tyre either. That's the way it is with the Lord. The Lord's able to deal with everybody all at the same time. He doesn't have any problem dealing, preaching one message. The Lord Jesus did. He'd preach one message and deal with everybody all at the same time. His word is that way. He says, the burden of Tyre, the load that I'm going to put upon Tyre, this great city, this city of the Zidonians, the burden of Tyre, howl ye ships of Tarshish, for it is laid waste, so that there is no house, no entering in from the land of Chittim. It is revealed to them. Be still, ye inhabitants of the isle, thou whom the merchants of Zidon shall pass over the sea, have replenished. Zidon being that city to the north that is associated often with Tyre, Tyre and Sidon, that pass over the sea, have replenished. Verse 3, and by great waters, the seed of Sihor, the harvest of the river is her revenue. She is a mart of nations. That's where nations go to trade, is Tyre. Be thou ashamed, O Zidon, for the sea has spoken, even the strength of the sea, saying, I travail not, nor bring forth children, neither do I nourish up young men, nor bring up virgins. The sea was very profitable to Tyre. But the Lord evidently is using the sea to eat up her great trade ability and her great merchant ships in his judgment upon them. As at the report concerning Egypt, so shall they be sorely pained at the report of Tyre. The word will go out. Oh, all my investment, all the money that I am owed by the merchants at Tyre, the load of goods that I had going to Tyre to sell and send on in the caravans further to the east, I can't do it now. When the Lord brought Tyre to an end in the times that he did so. Pained at the report of Tyre. Pass ye over to Tarshish, howl ye inhabitants of the isle. Is this your joyous city whose antiquity is of ancient days? And so here we see a reference to the age of this city. Her own feet shall carry her afar off to sojourn. Who hath taken his counsel against Tyre, the crowning city, whose merchants are princes, whose traffickers are the honorable of the earth? Tell you what, those that are living and trading and doing business, they're entire of the high rent district. There, as the world would say, they're the top drawer of the world in that day. They've got connections. They've got wealth. They've got ability. I mean, they're involved to the west and to the east. It's the epicenter, one of the epicenters of trade in that day. That's not going to stop the Lord. Verse 9, the Lord of hosts hath purposed it to stain the pride of all glory and to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. Pass through thy land as a river, O daughter of Tarshish. There is no more strength. You can fight against the raiders. You can fight against those that would look to take you over. You can protect your goods as they're sold and as they are out on the seas and such as that. But you cannot defend yourself against me, the Lord says. He stretched out his hand over the sea. He shook the kingdoms. The Lord hath given a commandment against the merchant city to destroy the strongholds thereof. And he said, thou shalt no more rejoice, O thou oppressed virgin, daughter of Zidon. Arise, pass over to Chittim. There also shalt thou have no rest. Behold the land of the Chaldeans. This people was not till the Assyrian founded it for them that dwell in the wilderness. They set up the towers thereof. They raised up the palaces thereof, and he brought it to ruin. How, ye ships of Tarshish, for your strength is laid waste. And it shall come to pass in that day that Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years according to the days of one king. After the end of 70 years shall Tyre sing as an harlot. Take an harp, go about the city, thou harlot that hast been forgotten. Make sweet melody, sing many songs that thou mayest be remembered. And it shall come to pass after the end of the 70 years that the Lord will visit Tyre, and she shall turn for her hire and shall commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. And her merchandise and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord. And it shall not be treasured nor laid up, For her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before the Lord to eat sufficiently, and for durable clothing. So thus, evidently there's coming a time, or has been a time, I don't understand exactly all about what that's talking about, a 70-year gap there that the Lord is going to keep this oppression and desolation upon Tyre, the time of a king, the lifespan of a king, he says. And she's not going to, where she ranked, she's going to have a time that she's not going to rank at all and going to be brought low, low indeed. The judgment of God upon this great city. Lord willing, next time we'll take a look here and see what Brother Jeremiah has to say about Tyre. And the Lord has not forgot. He's still dealing with his nation. Brother Jeremiah down there at a much later time, where Brother Isaiah was like from 735 to 710 in that range B.C., Brother Jeremiah is on down the road another 50 years or better, 645 to 570 B.C., a greater span of time as we understand. And the Lord hadn't forgot. And judgment's going to come to pass. Do you think that the Lord not forgetting about nations and what they do and how he uses them, his own nation, how he chastised her and is chastising her. Does the Lord forget anything? You know, you and I, if we think about that, I mean, it is a marvel indeed, because you and I know how much we forget. From the time we were young, we'd forget. Maybe we might forget out of convenience when we were young. Now, as we get older, we forget, and we don't want to forget, but we just forget outright. And the Lord doesn't forget one thing about anybody or about any nation. No, there's not going to be, you know how it is, maybe just, what's an example with children? Say with children being given chores and how they'll maybe work. I know you didn't do this as a child, but I did. They looked, and it was hard for me because I didn't have any siblings to put it off on. But how children will slip off and not do what they've been assigned to do, and if there's a crowd, they just kind of blend into the crowd and try to go away and just slough off. The Lord sees it, and the Lord knows, doesn't he? He knows everything. I just use that as an example because we're all familiar with that. We've all done that in the course of our young lives. We were told to do something. It was our responsibility to do that. And we try to put it off on somebody. We just kind of slinked off. And our parents didn't know, never did know. Or maybe those in authority, the school teacher or whatever, they never knew. But the Lord knows. And nobody slips by with the Lord. There's not going to be like a dozen people left over and the Lord will just say, oh, okay, I forgot about you guys. Just come. It's not going to be that way. Every single person, every single nation, every single king, every single leader, every single person and every responsibility, opportunity and blessing, calling that they've had, the children of God are going to be judged. And those that reject the Lord are going to be judged too. And nobody misses judgment. I tell you what, don't be found an enemy of the Lord. There is absolutely no future in being found as an enemy of the Lord. If you're here and you're not saved, repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We point you to him. You know, do you hear, do you understand that salvation by the Lord is free to sinners? It's free. Because Jesus paid it. It wasn't free to the Lord. It was a great price that was paid by our Lord. But salvation to sinners like you and me is free. And the Lord says, why will you die? Why will you die? Why would you try to buy Why will you try to buy with that which is no money, which the Lord doesn't even care about or regard? Why? Repent, believe, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.